hey, we're here.
That's awesome. Great intro.
Yeah, it's a great intro. It's pearls and swine time again. And this episode, we're going to be talking about almost 1 year ago and kind of our experiences from the Father's Day flood. I don't think any of us could have anticipated, that night as the storm clouds rolled in, what was coming. And even the day of, I remember, I got up to seeing all these churches canceling, and I'm like, what in the world? What a bunch of pansies. And then I drove down the road and went, uh-oh, this is a big deal. And water was rushing over the road in both directions, and I called Nate up, and I said, hey, Nate, you got to go put a sign on the church that we're not having services. I do think we had one person somehow navigate in from like Pelkey or something. And they made it. So we had one couple that actually made it. But we just wanted to talk today just about some of our experiences and just some of the beauty and some of the tragedy that we saw during that time. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting that call because it stormed, and I knew it stormed that night. And you got that call, and you were like, can you get to church? I was like, yeah. I don't see why I couldn't. And because around my house, it looked like nothing had happened. There wasn't any damage anywhere, that I could see down 41 from my house. But when I tried to drive into church, which is maybe a mile, it took me 30 minutes wandering around trying to figure out what street wasn't flooded, what street didn't have debris that would just destroy my car or whatever. And finally,
you just Dukes of Hazzard it.
There was one that was a little bit iffy, but it was kind of a lake. But yeah, I just kind of went through that and got to the church and was able to put up the sign. But I remember, I think it was Monday, we kind of got together and we're like, well, what do we do? How can we respond? And we're kind of talking to people, shocking wells and that kind of thing. And then I think it was probably John gave you a call or something.
Yep.
And suggested a volunteer center where everyone could come and get trained and respond. And that was just such a cool thing to see the whole community come together. People maybe who had not been in the church or whatever, willing to come on out and just help their neighbor and figure out some type of systematic response, and really the faith community coming together. And I think the Catholic Church made a bunch of sandwiches for volunteers and stuff. And so it was just really cool. We had a lot of churches calling us saying, hey, how can we send volunteers? So it was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I loved how the state and in that time, how the state came in and they actually showed us what to do and how to meet the FEMA requirements. And it was like the church world and the state world actually operating how we probably should operate more. They're just a great, the emergency response team of the UP, just a great group of people. So,
yeah, in the midst of the tragedy and the devastation and all that, there was obviously some beauty that came out of that. I mean, we kept hearing stories over and over again of people encountering their neighbors and being able to meet each other. And they were just helping each other out, whether, Joe down the street brought his tractor down and was digging out driveways or things like that. I know in our little town of Chassel, we got to meet a ton of people that we wouldn't have had before and just had the opportunity to spend the day helping each other out and getting water out of basements and getting things dried out and stuff like that. But, you made those connections where those relationships were built. And now you walk down our street, or I'm sure this is for every other neighborhood, you can say hi to Joe and Sue and Sally. And, you've got those connections of like, hey, how's your family doing? And those are really great opportunities to invite people to come and hang out with you at church or over for a barbecue and just open up those relational doors for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got very little time out in the field. There's a couple houses I went to kind of after we were running some of the Volunteer Resource Center. We, in one sense, we kind of had a really white-collar job, but we got to experience all these people coming back and just kind of giving us reports. And I remember this one guy, he was kind of like, If you can picture kind of like this big Harley burly dude, and he was sitting on the back of his truck, and I just went out to talk to him and thank him and just kind of hear his story and process with him just a little bit of what he had just seen. And he was in a basement in, I believe he was in Hubble area, and he was kind of mucking this basement out. And he said, you know, it was amazing at first, just the amount of like sludge and stuff that he saw. And he said, as we were kind of going through there, he started to hit like picture books. Mm. And you know, like their lives were in the midst of this thing. And this guy tears start to roll down his face as he starts to describe this to me. And he starts to talk about just like the human aspect, not just like, you know, nature's devastation, but like just the human connection. Like this is people's lives we're dealing with. And it just really, I remember that very vividly, and just remember the emotion that was attached, not to the person who had the devastation, but to the person who was actually helping in the devastation.
Yeah, I remember seeing Agate for the first time, and that was one of the first major destruction that I saw, and I was just overwhelmed by the damage that was done. And of course, you know, understanding that a lot of these infrastructure projects are being, you know, put back together and fixed and some of that, but like you're saying, there's some losses that won't be fixed. There'll be scars and stuff forever, and thinking of the Markham family and their loss, and just how, you know, this was a very devastating event. So we want to definitely keep the Markhams in our prayers, as anniversaries are hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was one of the most impactful things for me that came out of that was some of the folks that were receiving help from the volunteer center would come back in just to say thanks. Yeah. And there was one lady that I had the opportunity to talk to, and same thing, like, just broke down in tears. And it wasn't because of the stuff that she lost, that was somewhat important to her, but she just was touched by the amount of love and support that people just showed up. Mm-hmm. She had no idea who they were, never met them before, but they just showed up because they wanted to help and they wanted to love on their neighbors as a community at large. And I think that was just one of the most impactful things for me and my family, just throughout, like you hear flood, you see devastation, you think all these bad things, but there was some beauty that rose from the damage of that.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing a couple college students coming back, and they're just covered head to toe in mud and muck.
It wasn't mud.
And I was like, oh, I gotta take a picture of this, because, I mean, they just went at it. It was cool to see people really just come together and, you know, get dirty, help their neighbors clean stuff up. So,
yeah, it wasn't, you know, there was corporations giving donations. I mean, just the flood of just goods and services, and, you know, like the Portage Foundation, the Keweenaw Foundation, really just caring about people. And it wasn't about possessions in that moment. You know, you know, one of the things that was interesting to me, Rubicon, the national organization, came in, and they're incredible in these situations. Usually they're dealing with probably a little bit bigger scale type thing, where it's in a large city and there's not, everyone doesn't have a tractor, you know what I mean? And so one of the things that the guy, as he was leaving, they only stayed for 3 days, and they got out of here because we didn't really need them. And every time they would go out to a place, it was already taken care of by somebody's neighbor or like somebody, one of the volunteer groups that we were sending out. And he came back and he just said, I've never seen something like this. He's like, I've been all over the United States, you know, in flood relief or hurricane relief type things. I've never seen a community come together how quickly you guys did. And you guys have a really good thing going here, and keep it up. And that's one of the things, like, you know, we're a year now and things have settled. Some things are, most of our roads are back to somewhat normal. You know, a little bumpy here and there that you remember. But I wonder, how do we as just neighbor to neighbor, how do we continue to care about each other? There's not a disaster right now, but how do we still just love each other? And, you know, the Bible's pretty big on that one, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, type of an idea. And so that's one of the things that I've been just reminded as we're kind of coming up on this one-year anniversary is how do we continue in that? You guys got any suggestions on that one?
Well, I was thinking the thing that made it so easy during the flood was we all experienced a catastrophic event, and so we wanted to check on each other. And I think some of the times the reason we don't get to know our neighbors is because we don't have an excuse to sure. talk to them, to check on them. It's not a big deal to go over to your neighbor and just say, "Hey, how are things going? How are you doing?" And especially if you know a little bit about them, if they're elderly or have kids and stuff, just think of a reason to drop by and say hi and see how people are doing. I think that's the biggest thing, is just kind of overcoming the awkwardness of, "Hi, I'm here. How are you?" But yeah, with catastrophe or something like that, it's I think an excuse that makes it easy.
Yeah, I mean, it brought everybody outside to see what had happened, check out the damage. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, those relationships that were formed, like that awkwardness, that weirdness, that threshold's already crossed. So now it's just, are you going to take the initiative and really care about these people or not? I just ran into a guy this morning as I was coming back from a breakfast meeting, and he was talking about his neighbor that he met during the flood and how she was elderly and now she's in assisted living. But he's like, "Man, I miss just talking to her, because after the flood, that opened up that relational component where they would go and just check on her like once a week, just go sit and visit with her and chat." And it's just getting over that awkwardness. I think you're right on that.
You know, one of the things that I think we have to always fight against, and we're all busy, everyone's running from here and there, and, you know, we have our 4 months of summer-like weather that we're all trying to enjoy, and yet, you know, just that little bit of time, that little bit of things, or, you know, just connecting with people, it is important. It's part of the beauty of living in a small community like this, that we can know each other and in that way, and in kind of war against the kind of the idea, and the Bible talks a lot about this also, war against the idea that it's about possessions. Jesus says that I think it's in Luke or something like that. He talks about, you know, watch out, be on guard for all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And, you know, in the end, when you're on your deathbed, what do you actually really have? You know, you may have a big barn, a bigger barn than the next guy, or a bigger tractor, but does that really matter? What really matters is your relationship with God and your relationship with people. And I think he's trying to remind us of that. And I think it was a good reminder as we went through this. We're going to celebrate, that's not the right word.
Remember,
I think, yeah. This Sunday. We're going to remember this Sunday. We're going to have two services that are just kind of focused on giving people space to remember, space to just have some conversations, worship God. And it could have been a whole lot worse. You know, I cannot imagine losing a kid, and we're mourning still for Thatcher and his family and their loss. But it could have been a lot worse with all that water coming at one time. But we're going to give people space to do that and to celebrate the goodness that actually did come out of it, but while reflecting on the tragedy of it. And so that's what we're going to be doing, 8:30 and 10. All are welcome. Come on out. Hang out with us. We'd love to hear some of your stories. Hey, thanks for listening.
See ya.